Hi, everybody. Welcome to Join Our Christian Lifestyle. Shane Fritz here with you again. Going to wrap up our series on 1 Corinthians 1:30. I hope you guys are enjoying this. If you are, man, drop a comment. Let me know what you're thinking on this. I felt like this was something that we had to get out. As I said, this is part of a bigger teaching that's about to go out, actually a part of a devotional that I wrote. And so there'll be information coming on out on that to come, but there will be a book that this has all been a part of. So I hope that you're enjoying it. You are in Christ Jesus. Can we say it again? You are in Christ Jesus. Say, I am in Christ Jesus. That has been the whole crux of this revelation that we have been talking about for now weeks. This is the fifth week in this series, and actually it started before that, so we're going back 6 weeks now, six episodes. We started talking about living in Christ, as you live in Christ, and what that means. And you know, I hope that this has been an opening up of what living in Christ really means. You know, we see that phrase all through the New Testament. All through the New Testament. But do we really meditate on what it means to be living in Christ? Christ is the umbrella. Remember, we said Christ is the boat. Christ is the house. It's not that the outside things don't come in and try to impact. But when you're in Christ, there's a security. When you focus on Christ, the external stops mattering. When you focus on being in Christ and you see yourself through Christ, you'll see Christ. You'll see something that you like. And it'll allow you to be empowered to live a different way. When you know that God looks at you and sees Jesus first and you inside of Jesus, it'll give you a new boldness to go before Him. Okay? All right. I know we've been over and over it again. So today we're in the last one. Now we've been through four. You are in Christ Jesus. The first week was who became for you the wisdom from God. The second one was who became for us righteousness. The third one who became for us sanctification or holiness. And the last one today, you are in Christ Jesus who became for us redemption. It's the final incarnation of Christ that Paul writes about here. Is Christ becoming redemption? In the same way that justification and sanctification affect your life right now, today, with eternal implications, is the same way that redemption affects your life right now, and more specifically, Christ as our redemption affects how we live right now. I'm going to talk about redemption in terms of relative value, coupons, and I think postage stamps, okay? We have to understand this. Jesus didn't just redeem you once. Jesus is the constant redemption of you. He's the means by which you're in a state of redemption, not one day I'll be redeemed or not, I was redeemed and now I hope I'm still redeemed. No, you are in constant redemption because He becomes redemption for us. The currency of heaven in terms of sin and life is blood. We talked about that last week. Jesus personally applies His blood into our hearts. He personally applied His blood on the mercy seat for us and tore that veil so that we would have access to go before God. And how grateful are we that Jesus' blood is still living, it's still effective, it's still powerful. There has been nothing that has ever changed or shifted or swayed the value of His blood. Blood is the currency of heaven. From the Garden of Eden on, blood was shed to pay for sin and to redeem one's appearance before God. You know, right there in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve, there was a literal shedding of blood and then covering them in animal skin fashioned for them. But figuratively, right down through the law of Moses, blood covered sin and purchased life. Under the law, the most immunity from sin, the most life you could purchase from sin would be 1 year. And in the course of that year, as incidental things would come up, you'd have to offer further sacrifices. There'd need to be more sacrifices made. You know, I said in terms of postage stamps, and this is a way I think about this. You know, in today's time, my wife and I, we mail very, very few things through the postal service. You know, we pay bills online. We send emails instead of letters or text messages instead of letters. You know, we don't often have to put a stamp on something. And so since we don't require many stamps, the problem is that when we buy a stamp, if we buy it for the value that the postal service wants to mail a letter right now, before we can use all the stamps, the cost of postage goes up, and then we'd have to add stamps to stamps to be able to mail the letter and to cover the cost of sending that product. Well, that's the same thing that was happening under the law. They would think they had purchased enough to cover sin, and then they would have to make more sacrifices because, you know, as their sin count would go up, the cost of being sinless went up. In terms of coupons, think about it this way. Let's say that that you have a redemptive value of $1 on a coupon. Now, on a $1 item, you get the item for free. But how many of us know not much costs a dollar anymore, right? So now imagine that the price doubles. Well, that's not too hard to imagine if you've been to a grocery store lately. But imagine that the price of the item you want to purchase doubles. Now your coupon's still for a dollar. Now you only cover half the cost. It's the same principle. Both of those scenarios basically depict the relative value of the blood sacrifices under the old covenant. But Jesus, if he were a stamp, wouldn't have a face value definition. If you're here in the U.S., right, when you go to a store, what do you buy? You buy forever stamps. Because the truth is that the price of paying goes up and up and up. But if you have a forever stamp, it's always worth enough to send that piece of mail. In terms of a coupon, it doesn't have a dollar figure placed on the coupon. It's for a free item. It's a gift called salvation. The coupon simply reads, "Receive salvation free." Jesus alone is our redemption. He's the living entity that restores us to God's original definition and design of life, and can't be exhausted or manipulated by any external factors, including us, as we live in Him, to change the redemptive value of Himself. That right there is one of the things that we have got to really lay hold of. Because otherwise, if you don't understand that Jesus is enough, then you'll always have an inclination to add to what Jesus did. And you know, I've talked before on here about my own personal upbringing coming out of that religious mindset. And you talk to anybody who's come out of a religion, you know, and I talk to Catholics and they have the same stories, and Jewish people have the same stories, Muslims have the same stories. As you talk to people, they'll have the same type of stories. And really, when you go back to the New Testament, you even see it. I mean, you see it right away in Galatians. There were people who had received the Spirit, that had received grace, that were in Christ. And somehow they started letting that revelation slip away, and their natural inclination was to start adding the law back into their practices. And Paul says, who bewitched you? Right? Who's tricking you? We have to maintain a focus and a knowledge and a knowing that Jesus' sacrifice does not have a face value that can be exhausted. He's a forever stamp. He's a coupon to receive salvation free. And that right there is so key to stepping into all that Christ has for us. When we started this series, I shared some personal testimony. We talked out of Philippians 4 verse 7. And I want to go back and read Philippians 4 7 now. We're kind of, as we're coming to the end of this series and we're wrapping this up. And it says again there, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. As you live in Christ Jesus, he continues to guard your mind and your heart. How does he accomplish it? Because he didn't just give you wisdom once, he is wisdom. He didn't just make you right with God once, he is your righteousness. He didn't just make you holy once, he became holiness. He didn't just redeem you once, or he won't just redeem you once in the future. He is redemption. He is the living incarnation of everything we need to live the God life. The peace of God that we can't understand, but we can only experience. It's what safeguards our hearts and our minds. It's what safeguards how we think, how we feel, what moves us, what drives us. Is it fear or is it love? You know, if I were to have asked you at the start of this, what comes to mind when you hear the phrase, live in Christ? Maybe it would be different than what comes to mind now when you think about living in Christ. But today, I want to ask you, as you go forth throughout the day and as you meditate on this, hopefully even after today, because we have to meditate on living in Christ. But as you do that, I want you to ask this question. How do I feel in Christ, who became for me the wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption? How secure do you feel as you think about the four things that Jesus became for you as you live in Him? Like, don't you just feel wrapped up tight in a hug from the Holy Spirit as you think about that he didn't just do it once for you, but he became it so that you would always have it available. This is the power of the gospel over our life. This is the power of grace. Actually, it's the empowerment of grace over our life. That it's not just like, yep, I gave it and you missed it. No, he gave it and it stays, it remains as long as you remain in him. Remember, you're not in the boat with Jesus. Jesus is the boat you're in. When the storms come, because they will, can you rest with Jesus? Because he rests, he takes naps. Can you Can you take a nap with Jesus? Can you be at peace? Can you be still in storms? I feel like if we meditate, and this is what we behold, if we behold ourselves in Christ, we'll become a fuller manifestation of life in Christ. As we see it, as we dwell on it, as we meditate on it, it will become bigger and bigger in us until we walk in fuller power to tell that storm, be still. I can tell that storm, be still, because I can be still in the storm. And if it's a season where that storm rages, because it's because of the will of God, whether it stays or goes, if that storm won't leave at your voice, then maybe it's time, as we said, shelter in place. You're at a good spot to shelter in place. You're in Christ. One last time, guys, at the end of this episode, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Guys, I'm praying that this series has blessed you. I'm praying that you feel the life on this and you want to hear more, you want to see more of this teaching. Like I said, that book is due to come out soon. There'll be details coming. I will definitely let you know on here when the exact release date is. But until then, guys, I'm just praying this blesses you. It edifies you. Be encouraged, guys. You are in a house that can't be overtaken by storms, and you're building a history with God that you'll continue to draw strength from in the days, the months, the years to come. Till we talk again, be blessed.